Hey everyone, I'm Oliver.
And I'm Jello.
And this is the differing cinematic tastes of Jello and Oliver. And we are back. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I don't know if that wasn't even like directed to you or just in general, but it worked so well. It has been a while. This episode has been delayed many times. I think 95% of them on my end, but finally. We are recording our second real episode. So.
And we're talking about.
We are talking about Aliens and Jojo Rabbit. One pretty oldish, over 30 years old, and one that came out a couple years ago. So let's just get right into it. You chose Aliens for me. Why is that?
Because we watched Alien. Last week. I think in the episode last week, I didn't even remember what I had chosen because that's how perfunctory it was. It was just like, everyone wants a movie, you're Jello.
You did not remember what movie it was, which makes it even funnier. But yeah, no, you chose Aliens, which for just a quick reminder or lesson for those who may not know, it came out in 1986. It was directed by James Cameron, which we'll get into a little later because that's kind of a big deal. The first one was directed by Ridley Scott and then this one by James Cameron, who are like two of the biggest names in American cinema, even though Ridley Scott is British. But that's one of the things you always hear about it, is that you went from one director to the next, and it was like not even. It was kind of like a lateral move. So for those who listened to the first episode, and to remind myself, and hopefully I'm getting this right, we are going to start this off by me telling Jello what I thought of Aliens. So I will rate it out of 5 narwhals and he will tell me what he thought I was going to rate it.
I have a guess.
What was that?
I have a guess already in my head.
And whoever gets the closest between the two movies wins the episode. Now, what we didn't do last time, we are going to do this time, is we're going to save those till the end of the episode to make it a little more fair. Because the first time, I really had no chance to win after you guessed my score perfectly. So,
I mean, I was going to guess your score perfectly no matter what part of the episode it was in. So, I don't know what you're complaining about.
Burn. Okay, so for this movie, I actually took notes while we were watching it because I can't. It's been a long day. No, I took notes because I needed to have something to go back to when we talked about it. So I have 25 notes. I'm not going to go through.
I have 25 main points I'd like to go through.
I am not going to go through all of them, but I will go through some of the big ones. So what I did like is that they started right after the first movie, and you dealt with the ramifications of the first movie, you know, like the ship finds Ripley and then she keeps trying to explain to everyone what happened and no one believes her. And then she gets sent out on this, expedition to, I don't know, is it even a planet? What is it? Like an asteroid?
It's the same planet, I think, that they got the alien from in the first place.
Yeah, because there's a colony there now. And Paul Reiser, in what is perhaps the most obviously telegraphed villain role of all time, being the one to like take her, you know, oh, yeah, no, it's good. We're going to destroy them all. Like, OK, man. So a thing I didn't like is Bill Paxton.
You didn't like Bill Paxton.
And I should note that I like Bill Paxton. It's just that, like, he's a very over-the-top actor, and he's rarely actually good in movies.
Yeah, well, but there's sort of a there's a grotesque magic to it, isn't there? Like, you just can't stop watching because it's so weird.
He's just like, game over, man, game over.
I mean, I guess I'll go, but I don't like it, but it is certainly fascinating.
What, just to watch him?
Yeah, it's just like, this is not a real person. This is like some cartoon character from space.
Like, this cannot be how actual people act.
Yeah.
Okay, what else? Some of these notes I don't even remember. The useless lieutenant. Yeah, I didn't like him. You know, the guy who was actually in charge of the mission and was like not helpful at all.
Did you not like him? Like, did you not like his character, or did you not like the performance?
I mean, he was fine. It was just like, I don't know, he was useless. Some of these aren't even like good or bad notes. They're just notes. Okay. I'll tell you some ones that I skipped. Sweet weapons, the pulse beep, a donut, handy for close encounters. I don't even remember what a donut was referring to, but the blood defense, which I guess goes back to the original one, but I think they used it better in this one. The fact that, you know, the alien's blood is like acid. In this one, it was like there was that. So in the first one, they talk, you know, there's Kane and they talk about how they can't cut the thing off of him because, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. And they show the acid blood. But this one, I really like how the acid blood actually hurts the team of the space marines or whatever they are. Doesn't someone get it? It's been a couple weeks since we watched it. But doesn't one of them like get it on their leg or their arm and it like completely incapacitates them? And you're like, there you go. Like, there's something that can actually fight you. Because when I was reading about this before we watched it, one of the complaints some people had was that it's like you took the perfect alien creature from the first one that was like super difficult to fight and you just made them like minions, you know, or like disposable, easy to kill villains, because there's like a bunch of them. There were unnecessary people in this movie, but that's common in so many movies like this, where just like half of the team, you're like, I don't need to know who you are. Newt, the cutest little child in like any movie that I've ever seen, who was also like, I don't know, I really liked her character and that her name was Newt.
There it is. That's what you really liked about it.
I like how I'm just reading off my list. Mad Lib style. That doesn't even make sense. So I have written down "We can breathe" here, which I believe refers to when they get off the ship. Now they don't need their suits and stuff to be able to breathe on the planet. They're just like walking around and you're like, okay, that's convenient. There is someone named Spunkmeyer or something similar, like the cookie. I didn't like that. There's a great scene actually with Newt and Ripley where, you know, she is putting her to bed and like basically saying that like she's not going to leave her. And it's very good. They have good chemistry. Ripley has good chemistry with her and with Michael Biehn, who plays Hicks, the cool Marine. So there's some good chemistry in this movie. And I really liked Bishop. We talked last time about Ash the android, and obviously she's going to be really sketchy about an android being on this mission. But I really liked Bishop. Spoiler alert, I really didn't like how he got like ripped in half at the end. it was actually like, and even though he's an android, like it was like viscerally like gross. And I mean, he lives, quote unquote, because he's an android and he got ripped like in half, so it's fine. But I don't know. I thought there was more development, more suspense in this movie. I thought it was actually scarier. I mean, there's a part where, you know, when they first find the cocooned lady in the colony, and she's like, you know, basically like barely alive and telling them to kill her. And then like the chest burster comes out right there. To me, that was scarier than the chest burster in the first one. And maybe it's just because I knew about the one in the first one, or maybe it's because the effects, you know, I don't know. But I feel like it was scarier, which, you know, actually, and I know we talked about thinking, you know, locking in our votes, I think I have to actually change what I'm going to rate this. But
okay.
Because I just have, I mean, part of my issue with the first one was that it wasn't scary, and I thought it might have just been the time period that, you know, like I was coming to it too late. But this one showed me that it could actually be scary. And I was never like scared during the movie, but like, I don't know. It did a better job. And I wrote also that it dragged near the end, which it kind of did. I mean, it, you know, the alien took an elevator, the alien queen, which was awesome. Way cooler than the guy in the suit. One note I had is, how do aliens keep storing away? Which I think is a very good question. Like
stowing away.
Yeah, I wrote storing. apparently, one note. But how do they keep stowing away? Like in both movies, there's a hidden alien on the ship. They have like almost the same ending. There's a hidden alien on the ship that she then has to fight, and then she defeats it, and then she, you know, she goes into her pod. But in this case, now there's multiple other pods because a couple other people survive. So overall, I thought this was a good movie. I thought it was better than the first one, and I will save my rating till the end of the episode.
So I'm kind of interested by what you said about how you think it's scarier. I just wanted to sort of dig into that a little bit. So maybe it would be useful if you could like sort of describe what the experience or sensation you're naming as scary.
Okay. Is. Yeah. It's more just like grossed out or like,
okay,
or like kind of shocked. Like I said, with the lady who's in the cocoon, like that, it was gross. And like, it was kind of disturbing, like how she was still kind of alive, but like, you know, barely there. And then she died. And Bishop getting torn in half was gross just from like, it actually looked really good. Like, well done. So I think that's what I mean. And not so much like scary, but like that part with the lady was disturbing and like, I don't know, like shock, maybe visceral shock at certain parts, as opposed to the first one, I thought. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that clarifies anything for you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was thinking you probably meant.
Yeah. So what were your thoughts on this one? I mean, obviously you picked it for me, but like, what do you think about it?
Yeah, I actually don't like it as much as the first one.
Ooh, interesting. I bet I know why.
It's probably not a mystery.
Because you really like the themes, right? Like the, not the themes, but like the tenseness.
The atmosphere. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I really like the atmosphere of the first one. And I feel like this one just does not have the same atmosphere. It sort of takes away the dread and replaces it with like semi-grating, you know, blast away all the alien scenes, which, like, not to say those are bad, they're fun, you know, it's fun to see aliens getting squashed all over the place, but
it is different.
Yeah, it's definitely different, and I guess my own personal taste is just towards towards the more atmospheric sort of thing. There's also, I think, more sort of wait a minute moments in Aliens as opposed to Alien. So like when the queen takes the elevator, it's sort of like,
yes, that is really bad.
That's kind of dumb.
That was really bad. I definitely agree.
And I was just thinking today, actually, just the fact that like the queen is chasing Ripley, you know, through the station. It's like, why do you care? Like, it doesn't make it, like in the first one, the aliens' motivations are pretty much opaque. We don't know.
Right. Like, and you don't need to know
why. Yeah. And you don't need to know. And that kind of makes it more menacing, because it's like, is its motivations really just that it wants to stomp around the space station and kill everyone? Because if so, that's a terrible alien. But I don't know. It doesn't make as much sense in Aliens. It's like, this person is actively fleeing your domain and you're like chasing after them. Why? Just to kill them?
Well,
like, everything is exploding around you. Like,
didn't she destroy the eggs or whatever? Didn't she blow them up?
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
So I guess revenge. But yeah, it's like in that moment, like maybe like go for self-preservation over revenge.
Yeah,
I agree. No, the elevator, yeah. It's really not good.
Yeah. So like there's that moment. And I feel like I guess I can't think of them at this moment, unfortunately. But I feel like there's a couple times throughout the movie where it just sort of dips into the Hollywood hokiness, like really, really noticeably.
Well, there's a scene.
I don't really feel like Alien does that much.
It really doesn't. I think I can think of one you're probably trying to come up with is like when they look up in the vents and there's just a ton of aliens like crawling towards them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh, they kind of look like cockroaches. You're just like, oh.
Yeah, and it's like, of course, the aliens waited to like burst through the ceilings. And
right,
to, like,
right.
Look at it. Like, yeah, just stuff like that.
But I said we would talk about it a little. The Ridley Scott to James Cameron change, you know, the number one thing I'll hear about this usually on TV tropes is, you took, so like the first one is horror, like more mm-hmm. horror, and this one is more action, and it works pretty well, like having the different directors. Like this is one of those sequels that people tend to consider as like pretty close to the original. I mean, you can debate it, but like it's pretty highly rated, I think, generally among people. I mean, especially when you get into like the other sequels, but it's just so interesting because, again, Ridley Scott is a massive director and James Cameron is like a massive director. It's like you don't usually get that on a sequel. Usually you'd get like the B team. I don't know who's got a better filmography overall. I thought Ridley Scott, but then I don't know. I'm backtracking on that. But Ridley Scott did do Gladiator and The Martian. But
I think it's really interesting, like, you see this in games a lot where you start out with a game that has kind of like a small scope and a really specific sort of thing to it.
Mm-hmm.
So like Alien, you know, small scope, specific thing, successful. Then it's like, okay, now it's time to make the sequel and we're going to blow the doors open on this thing and expand the world and do all these things.
Yep.
And sometimes that works out really well. I don't. It's just really interesting because, like, frequently that's like that second step is the moment when a game franchise sort of the ethos of it changes a little.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like it's no longer that really fine tuned, really streamlined original vision. It, you know, twists around to something else. But in this case, like I feel like it really benefits them that they change directors
mm-hmm.
because James Cameron just like is not aiming for that sort of really streamlined, fine-tuned, minimalist horror at all. And so like there's sort of it sort of allows both sort of ethoses to like remain in the continuity.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm trying to say?
No, I do. Like, it's like both directors are suited to both types of, you know, like Ridley,
yeah, they're both chapters in the story.
Yeah.
And so like it validates both of them.
Yeah.
In a way where you don't have like this stylistic clash. It's like, okay, James Cameron has the more bombastic one, but that's also the one where, you know, we're seeing Earth and we're seeing space, you know, medical space stations and Ridley's apartment, or Ripley's apartment.
I was like, Ridley.
Yeah. And Ridley's apartment. Ah. Yeah. I just think that's really interesting. I also think a really interesting, but possibly superficial comparison is how in the first one, sort of the character that Ripley needs to take care of is a cat, and then in the second one it's a little girl.
Yeah.
Like, I just think that difference speaks volumes about sort of the goals and personalities of the people behind the scripts.
Interesting. What's your reasoning?
Well, because like having a small child that's in danger is such the boxed Hollywood solution, you know, mm-hmm. as opposed to a cat. And the reason why it's the boxed Hollywood solution is that it's really, really easy to identify with a small child. Like,
right.
If you care about audiences' emotional responses in that way, you're going to want to choose the small child. Also, if you don't care as much about, you know, creative individualism, you're going to choose the small child. But then the fact that Ridley Scott uses a cat is really interesting because, like, that does not provoke nearly as much of an empathetic response in people. In fact, like, you know, 50% of the population are like, we're not cat people at all. Like,
right.
We don't like cats.
Well, I would even say, and I think we mentioned this the last time, maybe not, but there's a video, CinemaSins, Everything Wrong with Alien. And it's like, I don't care how much you like cats. You don't go back for the cat. And I think that's kind of gets to what you're thinking. Because to me, it's like with a little girl, like, yeah, you have to keep track of the little girl and make sure she's safe with the cat. It's like, you're trying to escape. Like, you let the cat go. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. But just that, I think it really speaks a lot about how Ridley Scott is not interested in sort of fitting into the norms of human social. What am I trying to say here?
What people want.
Yeah. And to, like, it's a very cold sort of vision, you know, it's like, we're not gonna, like, maybe like having a child in the original movie was never on the table, but just like, because there's that comparison of there's a child in the second movie, it makes the fact that they were like, we're gonna have this cat instead. Just, you know, it seems very cold and not concerned with how people feel about things, you know?
So I agree with you, but it also then begs the question, like, if it is that cold, why do they make such a big deal of her saving it? Like,
yeah, that's true.
I think it would have been better if she had just let it go, as like harsh as that sounds. But like, I know what you're saying, but I think they like to go all the way with it is that's sort of what they would have had to do.
Yeah.
But it's,
and they do save the cat.
They do say, and the cat's in the second one. I doubt it's the same cat, but that is neither here nor there. So should we go on to the next movie?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So I chose Jojo Rabbit, which is a 2019 movie directed by, and I'm going to butcher his name because I never get it right, Taika Waititi, who is wonderful. He directed Thor Ragnarok, which is probably where most people would know him from. But it is a, how do you describe it? It is a comedy drama. It's like kind of a dark comedy that takes place during World War II in Nazi Germany.
Not much of a dark comedy.
The concept is kind of dark. It's like, it shouldn't be funny. They use the term, it's a satire, and I think that probably works better. But it is about a little boy named Jojo who is a Nazi, and his best friend is his imaginary friend, Hitler, who is also played by Taika. So I chose it for you because, one, it was a Best Picture nominee, and we used to have a thing where we would go see the Best Picture nominees, not all of them, but we'd at least see a couple of them every year. And it's an interesting concept that's either super offensive to people or they get it, like, and either thought is fine. Like, if someone was offended by the premise of this movie, like, I get it. I am not. But I don't know. It just seemed like a movie that would be up your alley. So what did you think? Well, OK, I guess I should give a little more about the plot. Basically, he is a little Nazi child with an imaginary Hitler friend, and his mother is hiding a Jewish girl in their attic. So that's where most of the conflict comes from. But what did you think?
Well, I know that you love this movie, but to be honest, I didn't really like it that much. But that, like, okay, so here's why. Like, I thought it was funny. I thought the actors were good. I thought the jokes were good. I thought it was well written. It was well directed. I really liked Taika as Hitler. He has great chemistry with the kid. Like, just in a whole ton of ways, like, it was an enjoyable movie. But I just didn't feel like it had anything to say that was new. I just felt like, in terms of like comparing it to, well, I guess Schindler's List, which just feels like an unfair comparison because it's obviously like tonally completely different.
Right.
But like, when it got to the end, I was like, I enjoyed that movie. I can definitely, like, I would be able to predict that that would be a Best Picture nominee, but I do not, there was nothing about it that recommended itself to me, that it was like, ah, like, this is a special, unique movie that stands out. It's like, there are quirky satirical comedies about a whole range of subjects, and there are lots of movies about the Holocaust.
And for clarity, this one is not so much about, it's not about the Holocaust more than the war itself.
Okay, yeah, it's just about,
we should specify, Germany. it's like near the end of the war, so yeah. how Germany was going at that point. But I mean, I know what you mean, like, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it comes out in, like, there's a whole bunch of scenes that it's like, we, you know, these sorts of scenes have been passed, turned over in the hands a bazillion times, like when the police come and they're like, you know, da 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 da, where, you know, what's that noise or whatever. Like we've seen that before. And then, like, you know, the hero character, who in this case is the mother, spoilers.
Spoilers abound.
Yeah, spoilers abound. You know, they get caught by the police and killed. Like,
that is
a pretty...
I know, but it's devastating. And so when he tries to tie her shoes and he can't because he doesn't know how to tie shoes, it's so sad.
These are just like pretty familiar tropes for this weird subgenre of movies about people hiding people during World War II. And I don't know, I guess maybe this sort of touches on what you're saying about, you know, some people might find this movie offensive, but I find sort of the wearing down of sort of that historical event into sort of like this genre that has predictable tropes and, you know, isn't really about trying to examine things in like particularly new ways or anything. It's, I feel like I'm just like throwing out a bunch of words, but
no, I think I get what you're going at. It just, it doesn't,
it feels like a shame that, that we're sort of taking this like really tragic and really like truly dramatic sort of time in history and we're making it into a formula. And I think it loses a lot of its gravitas when you do that. I think the temptation there is to become very superficial and sort of think that you understand the situation really deeply when, in fact, you're just sort of like regurgitating this narrative that we've developed about it. So, yeah. So for that reason, I was sort of lukewarm about the movie. It was like, it was enjoyable, but I really didn't feel like it stood out and like, I didn't feel like it justified the fact that it was about Hitler, you know.
That's very fair. I see what you're saying. Because it is, there are points in the movie where it almost seems like they're just making the joke about, like, there's, you know, Hitler in a swimming pool in like a weird bathing suit, and it's like, are you just making that joke because you can make that joke because you're making a satire? I mean, that's the thing with satires, where it's like, are you actually, the one that gets it a lot is the movie Tropic Thunder, where it's like, are you actually making fun of the thing you say you're making fun of, or are you engaging in it? Mm-hmm. And that is, I think, a question that you can ask sometimes about this movie, because it's like, like we said, Taika as Hitler is really funny. Like, I mean, just the way his acting, it, like, and you're right, he has great chemistry with the kid who plays Jojo. But it's like, is it funny because he's like making a point, or is it just funny? And I think that's a legit question. Now, what you said about the acting is spot on. Like, pretty much everyone in this movie is incredible. especially the kids.
Mm-hmm. The kids are so good.
JoJo is just this, like, and his name is Roman Griffith Davis, for those listening. He is just, like, so, like, he's like a fanatic, basically. And just some of his deliveries of lines are really funny. Like, someone, I don't remember what they even said to him, and he's like, just like straight laced. He's like, debatable. Like, he's like acting like he's this grown up, which I guess in many ways he probably thought he was. But the one who plays Elsa, her name is Thomasin McKenzie. Thomasine, I don't know. But she's also really good, just having to play the girl hiding in the attic. But his best friend, Yorkie, I don't know.
Yes, he's so great.
That kid is adorable. And he gets off one of the great, his name is Archie Yates. He gets off one of the greatest lines in the movie. And this is where the satire really works.
Uh-huh.
At the end, yeah, when the war is ending. And he's like, our only friends are the Japanese. And between you and me, they don't look very Aryan to me. Where he just like completely skewers like the Nazi ideology. And you're like, yeah, it was, yeah, really stupid, works. And it That's didn't make really... sense.
Uh-huh.
So that was one of those lines that just like, maybe it doesn't always work, but like that one, like that's what the movie should, I think that's what they were aiming for, and where maybe it doesn't always get it, like that's what it was going for.
Yeah. Yeah.
But even the adults, I thought Scarlett Johansson was doing a little too much in this movie. I don't know. My sister disagrees with me on that one. What do you think?
No, I kind of agree. It's like, I don't want to say, I don't want to put down somebody else's performance.
Right, right. but we are critiquing a movie, so.
Yeah. I feel like she's putting more effort into it than there is stuff to get out of the material.
She's trying very hard to be German.
Yeah. And it's like, she's trying very hard to be a really standout character, like, you know.
Yes,
like there's a lot of effort put into like doing all the sort of actorly things, like the scene where she, you know, puts on the soot on her face and pretends to be the father. You know, that's the sort of scene that gets clipped and played at the Oscars when you get nominated yes. for best actress. Yep. So like there's a lot of that sort of thing, but I don't think the mother is actually an interesting character at all. Like, she's just sort of like a stock idealistic mother character, you know.
I'm intrigued by her character as having to have a child who is like completely against what you believe, and, you know, knowing that he's a 10-year-old kid, but like is a Nazi. mm-hmm. So that I do like. But some of the other actors, let's just go through. Rebel Wilson cracks me up in it. I don't know if you've ever seen really anything with her in it, but
I've seen, was she was in Pitch Perfect.
Okay, good. So you've seen
I've seen Pitch Perfect.
Oh, don't laugh. If neither of us, or if you hadn't seen it, I would have been recommending it for this podcast.
Oh no.
I freaking love Pitch Perfect. So she's really good. A lot of the side characters do a good job of just highlighting how like ridiculous it was, like what the Nazis believed and what they were trying to do. Like, you know, when she's trying to explain to all the kids, like, oh, this is what the Jews look like. Or at the end, she puts a grenade with a little kid and sends him to hug an American. Like, saying that out loud right now was just like almost disturbing to say, because that's like straight up evil. But I don't know. There's something, and this is, again, it's the fine line where it's like that scene was really funny, but it's also like really, really like, it's funny because it's so absurd. But like, this is what they were actually doing.
Yeah, it's a little too harsh.
It is. And it's this movie, it, like, if we sound like we're being insensitive, like it is probably more me, but like I'm not trying to be. This is a tough movie sometimes to judge because it is really funny, but you're like, should I be laughing at this? And it's like, I know that's part of the point. for half of the things, you know, half of the jokes, but it's a tough one. Like the whole scene, Stephen Merchant as the Gestapo guy who goes into the house, he's just so like faux pleasant and like, I mean, like he's funny, but then you're like, oh, this guy is like a murderer. The only one really that, you know, Sam Rockwell is, I love Sam Rockwell and everything, but Sam Rockwell is really the only sympathetic, like, character, like, supporting character, where you're like, he actually, he saves JoJo at the end. But I don't know, this is a hard movie to, maybe I shouldn't have picked it for the second episode, but it's a hard movie to judge, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, speaking of, like, the jokes, I think it's worth noting that, like, the tone is pretty frothy throughout the whole thing. Like, it's not a dark movie at all.
No.
It's bright, it's colorful, it's family-friendly even, to a point.
But that,
you know?
That makes it so, like, when she sends out the kid with the grenade, you're more, it's kind of like a mood whiplash, where you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, well, I would say that is a joke that goes a little too far and sort of, like you say, it's a mood whiplash, but I don't think it's like a mood whiplash for the point of satire. I think it's just plain a tonal inconsistency, unless like the Germans actually were strapping grenades to children and sending them running out into battlefields, which I've never heard.
But it definitely seems quite plausible. Especially like the with Yorkie being a soldier at the end, his best friend is like a 10-year-old and he's a soldier in the German army. Like that actually happened because they were basically just like, we need whoever we can get at this point. And his his uniform that is, it's paper like, it's not paper, it's paper like. So I don't know. I feel like we kind of just been talking in circles about this movie. Because I really like it. Like, I think it's a great movie. But there are, the concerns you bring up are legit concerns. And you can even tell just by some of the things I'm, like, adding to it, that, like, there are some flaws in it. Oh, also, second funniest line in the movie is when Rebel Wilson says that she needs someone to walk the clones, and then there's briefly a shot there's briefly a shot of like five clone children, and then it just immediately breaks away, because I do believe the Nazis had looked into cloning humans. So that's a good joke. Like that is funny.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth saying, like, just to say something good about it, like, basically all the jokes land. Like, it's a really funny movie, and it's got this really nice sense of, like, you can tell that Taika is an actor's director, you know? Mm-hmm.
And he is wonderful. Like, this, he should be directing everything.
Well, maybe not everything.
Everything. But Alien.
That would be a trip. But yeah, so, yeah, it, like, if you're interested in, you know, funny, goofy, oddball movies, like, it's a funny, goofy, oddball movie.
And I think it works overall. Like, I do think it works. I mean, that can be debated for forever. I don't know. I mean, again, it goes back to the issues with satire. Like, are you making a joke about the thing, or are you using the
are you exploiting the thing?
Right.
To,
right.
Yeah.
And it's a tough one, but I do like how Taika as imaginary Hitler starts to get more and more unhinged as the movie goes on, as JoJo's beliefs start to change and he starts to become like more open to Elsa and to, like, you know, maybe the Jews aren't that bad. So, and then by the end, you know, he's trying, like, he's like desperate to get JoJo to stay on his side, and which leads to the wonderful F off Hitler line. But it's your concerns with it and your issues with it are very valid. And it's one of those where, like, you know, again, like I said, when we started it, like, I understand when people are offended by it. I'm not. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's perfect. It's a tough one to judge.
Yeah, I'd say it's a fun, it's a weird word to use.
It is.
Say
it's a, I know.
It's a fun movie, but I'm hesitant to say that it's like a really great movie, you know?
Right. And just an interesting thing that maybe we'll save up for another episode, but like you mentioned at the beginning, all of the things that were right about it, but that it still didn't hit with you. And we were talking before we actually started recording how I think The Incredibles is one of the most overrated movies ever.
Yeah.
And I actually had this discussion with a professor before. Shout out to Joe Bookman, one of the coolest guys ever, where everything in it should be perfect. Like everything in it sets up that this movie should be amazing, but it just doesn't land for me. And I think this might be one of those movies where it's like it doesn't necessarily land for you. It lands for me. And that's fine, you know. So we shall now reveal our grades for these movies. So let's start with Aliens. I am going to get, and I did say that I changed it from, because we're trying to figure out how much we're going to go a little meta here, how much we want to have locked in before we start the show versus how much is like, you know, from what you hear us talk about. I am going to give Aliens 4 out of 5 narwhals. What did you think? I was
going to guess 4 out of 5 narwhals.
Dang it.
You know, like you messaged me after we watched Aliens and you were like, that was so much better than Alien. And I was like, that message suggests that he's going to like rock it up to like 4.5 or something. But I was like, no.
Oh,
no,
I need to stop telegraphing these. Okay, so you with Jojo Rabbit.
Yeah, so I would rate it 3.5 narwhals.
I was going to say 4.
Oh.
Because you're...
You know, honestly, as we were talking about it, I kind of feel like... I'm probably being a little bit too hard on it. I probably could bump it up to 4 and be happy. So,
but that's fine. You gave it 3.5.
Yeah.
And
that was what I locked in before we started recording.
So once again, you win the episode by a margin of 0.5 narwhals.
Yeah.
But I feel like I don't remember. I'll have to go back and look, but I think it was closer than the last one.
Possibly.
I don't remember. It's been so long.
I feel like you're going to need to pick up your game or else this is going to become a one season. You know what I mean?
Also, we're like breaking all the rules of podcasts by telling you like that we're not recording this like right after the second or like a week after the first one. Shocking, but I'm going to kind of put you on the spot here because we should be teasing what our next movies are. And I don't know if you have yet.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, perfect. OK, well, so I'll start with mine because I'm intrigued to hear because I think I already told you my movie for you is going to be Tombstone, starring Kurt Russell and Val Kilmer, because I love that movie.
And my movie for you is going to be American Hustle. Because we talked about that.
Okay, I will have to admit, I saw like the last third to a half of it, but it on TV, but I have not seen it all the way through.
It's fine. So, it's a David O. Russell movie. The main point of it is just to watch people yell at each other for 2 hours.
In really weird like makeup and costume.
Yeah.
Okay, so next episode will be American Hustle and Tombstone. Jello has only picked movies that start with A. We will see if this trend continues.
I'm going to make it continue now that you mention it.
I'm sure there's enough in there that we can make that work. But okay, so yeah, that was the second episode of the differing cinematic tastes of Jello and Oliver. Jello won this episode again. In our
Total score is 2-0.
2-0 in our discussion of Aliens and Jojo Rabbit. So, I am Oliver.
And I am Jello.
Peace out, everyone. Maybe I shouldn't have picked a World War II satire for the second episode.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a rhetorical minefield.
Okay, where is this note list? It was so good. The perfect movie cast, that's one of my OneNote sections.
I have this screenshot in Discord.
Can you send it to me?
I'm just going to reply.
Oh, here we go.
It shows up.
When I saw Bill Paxton over the top, that's okay. Okay, so.
You were confused about what movie that referred to.